Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another edition of CMC Radio. I'm your host, Rob May. It is 8:30 a.m. here on the East Coast in New York, and hoping that everyone's having a good day so far and a good week. We are at Thursday. We are almost through the work week, and again, as always, hope you guys got some good plans going on for the weekend. Hopefully joining me today will be Rudy DeRuyter of CKB Bank. This will be part five of the extended series. Part five is the series finale of this particular one. But with that being said, we've had Rudy on now for a while. You know, the better part of a couple of months now, as you know, his schedule's been crazy, as you can imagine, and he is the president of CKB Bank. And really, you know, we've been discussing a lot of different things when it comes to global finance, really, and, you know, the differences between the European way of banking and, you know, the North American way of banking, really, or really American way of banking at that point, too. Also, some of the things that we've been focusing on with him as well have been really how to motivate a company. And that's been a really inspiring message that he portrays to us throughout these episodes, because it seems to me that he really focuses on keeping his employees happy, keeping the work environment light and friendly and always motivated. But it looks like we might have Rudy on the line now, so let's see if we can get him on here. Good morning, Rudy.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Hey, Rudy. Welcome back to the show. How you been?
Very good. I was working. I was speeding up to get on, but I was 2 minutes too late. Sorry.
No problem at all. No problem at all. Well, welcome back to the show, Rudy. And as I was mentioning before you got on air now, you know, just kind of recapping some of the things that we've been discussing, you know, from how to keep your staff happy and motivated and the importance of that. You know, obviously the differences in, you know, the way that American banking is compared to how it is in Europe. As far as things go now for the recent weeks, has there anything new popped up in the world of banking?
Not really, but there are still low interest rates in Europe. There is still low growth in Europe, and the regulation costs have been built. So the first quarter was for the most banks rather tough because of the impact of the regulation costs, and the impact of the environment made that what we call the net interest margin. It's mm-hmm. about, it's a difference between the deposit rate and the credit rate, the mortgage rate, where we are living on. Is under pressure, so the business model keeps attention to go further. Yeah, but that's not new, but it was concretized because ING has posted his results of Q1, KBC, Societe Generale. So we see in the publications of those quarterly figures what we mentioned some weeks ago. Yeah,
really. Sure. And now, go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, with this time of year, does the seasons kind of influence interest rates and everything like that? I mean, does that play anything into it? Does weather and environment really play into it?
I think the European politicians are decisive. And as I heard Mr. Draghi, which is the chairman of the European Banks Union, I think interest rates will remain low for the next coming months. So I don't see any difference. Of course, the production of the credit, the mortgage production, is always lower in July and August. And as you know, or certainly in Europe, a lot of people are taking holidays, so the working days, the relatively working days are also less. So July and August will be tough. So I think a good second quarter and a tough third quarter, as I see it so far. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And I don't see any changes in the macroeconomic environment. The dollar versus euro remains stable, but I expect to that the dollar will gain until the end of the year. So now the dollar is compared to the euro 1.1, but I think 1 euro will be equal to $1 at the end of the year. So it's good news for the listening guys in the United States, because then you can come to Europe and it's cheaper. It will become cheaper. So if you're planning a cruise, or if you're planning to do so, maybe if you can postpone it a few months, you will gain some money. Yeah.
Absolutely.
On the other side, Europeans who would like to go to New York, they should go as quick as possible.
Right now, yeah.
Sorry.
Every for yourself, do you take time to travel? You know, at this point of the year, or wait a couple of months?
I always wait a couple of months. I have the tradition to take my holidays at the end of November. Why? Because we have a year from the 1st of January until the 31st of December. And as you know, like in the United States, I suppose, we have targets. We have a balance sheet target. And at the end of November, I can see if I will reach my targets or not. And if I reach my targets, I do a nice holiday. And if I don't reach my targets, I don't take holidays or less expensive. So, because that figure will influence almost directly the eventually pay of a bonus in March, April.
Sure.
So that's my tradition.
You have a pretty good method of really rewarding your employees, right? I mean, it's all about keeping everybody motivated and keeping them happy.
Yeah.
And I think around the holidays it was that you mentioned that you do give a pretty hefty bonus to people, right?
Yeah. Yeah, but as I said before, there's a lot of discussion on, but money and bonuses are a short-term motivator.
Right.
And people it's of course a pleasure, but the most important motivator is the atmosphere in the job from day to day. And therefore, each 2 years we do a holiday trip with all staff, paid by us, by the company, to get those atmosphere right. And this year we are celebrating 60 years of CKV, so we will organize in September a family party at the castle of the shareholders of the top shareholder of CKV Bank. So I believe in a good payment, which should be in the benchmark of banking so far. And if there's some especially this year, 6 years, we will if we reach our target, we will pay a 15th month, yes, to all staff. Yeah, that we will do. And not if we pay a bonus, it's not 100 euro or $100. It should be something more concentrative. Otherwise, you don't need to do it, because then it doesn't work as motivator at all. So I believe in it, but it should be combined with other things. In the long term, it's more the atmosphere, the respect for people, and also for the younger guys to give them responsibility.
Sure.
Just this morning, we decided to give one of our youngers personally lead to work together with PVC on a project, and so he will be our Spock. So that does pleasure, and then he grows, and then of course what for me as a company is important, that the knowledge of PVC, or it's PVC this time, but anyway, that the knowledge is passed through people into organization, because those guys see a lot of things. They're intelligent, but it's in the minds of those people. And if we could transfer knowledge and information from those guys or other guys in the environment to our own staff, then I think it's a success story.
Sure.
And that's what we will do.
So let me ask you this. Now, for your bank, and I know you said that it's not one of the largest banks in Europe, right? Obviously, you have a staff.
Very small.
Very small, right. Now, do you do
anything? Yeah, in European context, it's very small. In Belgian context, it's still small. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. Now, do you do any sort of advertising or anything like that, or do you not have to?
Well, no, that's maybe, as I said before, I'm rather contradictory to other banks.
Right.
So I like to be a hidden peril, because in the spotlight you create a lot of negative reactions from competitors. And as our name is well spread into the professional colleagues and bankers, but it's not well spread to all the public in Belgium. That's a bit of the strategy. So we have a website, of course. We have some folders and we have some publications locally in some cities around Waregem, Brussels, Ghent, of course. But we don't do much more than that. We are really reluctant to do so. Even interviews, I try to see before I give the interview what's the aim and why will we do it. I did it and I will do it again, but selective. So we are not active in what you call a full publicity plan. We are not sponsoring football teams or basketball teams or cycling teams so far, no.
Sure.
We do selective sponsorship. What we did was the Special Olympics together with the old ambassador of the United States in Brussels. So this was on a social aim. And we did the Alzheimer Foundation. So we're active, but then more in the social, ethical atmosphere. Yeah. Yeah.
Very nice. Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that's probably a comfort thing, too, for people. I mean, obviously, if you're not into doing it, you don't need to really necessarily go crazy with it. Why bother, right?
Yes, exactly. That's perfect. It's perfect, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so,
but of course, if we change as bank, yes, we have a growth rate, and if we go further and further, we need, of course, to adapt our business model. But for the time being, it's like this.
Now, do you guys have a lot of more private? Do you have businesses that keep their money with you guys, or do you have more individual banking? How does that work?
A lot of individuals and some families who are putting deposits with us, and some a lot of put it in your language, the church communities. A lot of church communities are client with our bank, not a lot of companies.
Mm-hmm.
Private individual bank and some special families, and as I said, church entities are in our bank, and they do that mostly the families and the church entities are doing it on a more long term deposit, and the private individuals are about 1/3 is short and 2/3 is long. And long is 5 to 10 years, which is quite comfortable for a bank like us, because then you have a match between the active and the passive side of your balance sheet, which means that the long-term funding is used for long-term engagements, so as mortgages and so on. The danger in banking, which we have seen in 2008, 2009, and further on, is that a lot of banks had short-term funding and were using the short-term funding to give long-term mortgages.
and then sometimes not to the best debtors, and then you get a lot of problems in banking in a certain stage. Yeah.
That's interesting.
So we were promoting the long-term deposit side, yeah.
Of course, sure, yeah. And, I mean, have you seen people more or less willing to put money in the bank recently? I mean, I know it's probably cyclical, and, you know, obviously the more money that's around.
How strange it sounds, more. And that's quite contradictory because the interest rates are very, very low. We give a bit more than the competitors, but that's only 0.20 basis points, so that's not a lot of money. And nevertheless, we see money coming in. And I have too much cash, and a lot of my coins also have too much cash. So, but although I must say that, but it's still small, there are some private individuals who are pushed by the low interest rates are changing their behavior. So they were reluctant for risk, and now they see very, very low interest rates, and they are beginning to take risk, which could be wrong because that was not the aim of the low interest rate program, and that was certainly not the aim to push private individuals to more risky products. And I see some competitors of mine who are playing that game, so they are developing new products with high risk, but well-packed. And as you know, that reminds me back to 2008, 2009, where we have packed a lot of mortgages, which were classified as small risk AAA by Moody's and others. And which provoked a very, very, very crisis. So we should be attentive for that kind of behavior for the consumers. And to the listeners, I would say, buy only things you understand and buy only things where you believe in, and don't buy things that cannot be explained in a proper way.
Right. So in terms of when it comes to that now, as far as what's your general thought on financial advisors for people?
Well, financial advisors, there are, I don't know in the United States, but in Belgium, we have three kinds of financial advisors. We have financial advisors who are paid by a bank.
Mm-hmm.
And there you already hear my voice. That if they are paid by the bank, they will promote banking products of that bank.
Right.
There are financial advisors from banks who have open architecture, which is already a step better because then they can promote products from other banks or from other providers, but even though they are paid by that bank. So first of it, that's the first type of financial advisor. Then we have really independent financial advisors who are working independent, and so they will probably look into the market to get a better product for you. But there, the danger is again, they are paid on commission.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be that they are promoting a product with a high commission, which is not really the best product for the consumer side. So even there, watch out, have some reflection on it. And then the third type is our niche players who are promoting financial products in a selective way. It can be green energy, it can be biotechnology, it can be funds. So and they have a larger product range. Often you will see also their ETFs, which is a bit a product who was linked to what we would call the Dow Jones Index or what we call the Euro Stock Index. And so that's a good product for markets who are rather dangerous or too far away. I think at the Russian market, Brazilian market, Argentinian market. So I would always do my homework self and then confront my financial advisor with your own beliefs and your own thoughts, and then decide. But have a look at the transparency of the product, have a look at the commission of the product, and then you will have a better view. Of course, the consumer in Belgium and Europe is protected because we need to fill in for each client what we call an investment profile. And this should be updated every 2 years. And depending on the answers on the questions in the investment profile, the financial advisor can give you more risky or less risky products. Otherwise, he can assume a penalty and responsibilities. So this is a sort of protection in the European context. Yeah.
It's probably pretty very helpful, obviously, I would assume.
Yeah, that's quite helpful. And it's more a bit, are you familiar with financial products? Did you use it often? Are you able to accept a loss of 20% shares value, or are you not accepted to do this? And depending on that, you have a scorecard, and then on the scoring, a sort of rating has been calculated by an algorithm. And then you will receive defensive products, or you will receive balanced products, or aggressive products, or it depends on your profile. And if you will want to do other things, you will need to refill in, or you need to prove that you have the qualification or the information, or that you are well educated to understand all the risks that is in financial markets and in financial products.
And now, Rudy, I just want to shift gears a little bit as we're winding down to the last 8 or so minutes of the series now with you. And again, I want to thank you for being on with us, because it's been a great pleasure to speak with you about everything. And again, you know, for your time on the 5 episodes that we've done. How do you think with this year being an election year here in America, how do you think that kind of hold on, how does that impact the rest of the world? I mean, clearly, I can only imagine what people are thinking about the possibility of having Donald Trump as the president of the U.S. So how does that kind of play into what might occur, you know, on the European side of things when it comes to finance?
I think there are two things who are on the macroeconomic and on the world are teasing our attention, or some more. But, of course, the election in the United States is something we are following very, very closely, certainly myself. And, of course, if somebody like Donald Trump, which I don't think that that will be the case, but anyway, you never know, that will be seen for the Europeans, and I'm talking from the European side, as dangerous. It has been seen as dangerous because the word he is spreading and so on. So I would think then there would be more in the financial system and in the economic world. We would be very cautious, so we would protect the European market a bit more, which could have an influence on the valuation of the dollar, which could have an influence on the relationship between the United States and Europe, which could be negative and which could provoke even an interest rate growth. If it's Hillary, then I think it will be seen in Europe as an intelligent president with an intelligent husband, which we know as before. We would be more... reluctant, we would be more comfortable with her on board, and then I think there will be not a lot of influence. The more dangerous, but that's more in-zooming that I'm doing, is what will happen with the Great Britain. Because, as you know or not know, there is a discussion between Great Britain and the European community, if I could say so. So, and there is a referendum organized in Great Britain, which could provoke a Brexit, which means that Great Britain would leave the European community. And that's something which would have a large influence on the financial side. Because as you know, New York and Wall Street is very known as a financial centrum of the world, but also London. And if there should come a Brexit, then the risk is there that a lot of financial institutions, even Americans, and certainly the European large financial groups, would leave London. And if it's Hillary, they could go to New York. If it's Trump, they will certainly not go to New York. So there is a lot of movement around the world. Then, of course, we are looking to what's happening in Korea, as you do also, and what is happening in the Islamic world, because we, as you know, we have not forgotten, even you haven't forgotten, but we haven't forgotten our attentats at the Brussels airport from some months ago. As you had 9/11, which, of course, this is not 9/11, but the impact is quite the same in a smaller way in Belgium and Brussels, you see? So that are the bit the things are around. So the election in the United States is one point, but it's linked to others. But if there is a Brexit and it's Trump, then you have, of course, the exponential effect of things. If it's Brexit and it's Hillary, or it's Hillary and no Brexit, then it's rather stable, you see. Mm-hmm. But I cannot predict that. But I like to bet, so I would bet that it's not Trump with you. Flat of champagne, a bottle of champagne, not on $1 million or something. A bottle
that's
of champagne.
Right, yeah.
But that's very dangerous, of course. But that's my point of view as I see the figures and as I understand the evolution. But I don't know. I don't know if would you bet with that kind of statement, Rob?
I got to tell you, I'm a little afraid because I feel like here in America, there is a lot of support for Trump, and it's not my belief. I certainly am not really a Trump supporter for a number of reasons, but you know, I it does worry me because Yeah, I mean, the media does its thing.
Yeah, of course,
if
the party is winning and if they take Trump as their candidate, then, of course, you have an issue.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, that's true, then you have an issue. But
will they really choose
Trump? Because there was a lot of discussion in their party also.
Right, yes. I mean, that's the only thing that you can hope for that. That's it. You can only hope that the Republican Party does something to stop it, because if not, we might have a little bit.
I always thought, but I forgot the name because I'm a little bit further than you are. There was a good young lady in that party, which was a bit, which in my point of view is ready to take over, if you understand what I mean.
Well, Rudy,
and you understand what I mean. I hear you very much.
We have just about a minute left for the show, and again, I wanted to thank you for coming on and being such a great guest for us. We would love to have you back on down the road, and we wish you nothing but the best. And you know, if you'd like to leave us with anything today, please, you know, take us away.
Rob, I would like to thank you and the American people to have been listening for so long to a Belgian guy in Waregem in a small bank, and I hope that it has brought some thoughts about the European side of the world to the Americans, and I'm pleased about it. Thanks.
Absolutely, Rudy. Well, thank you again, and anytime you would like to come back, please let us know, okay?
Okay, Rob. Have a nice day.
All right. Well, thank you, Rudy, again, and everyone, please, if you're in the area, you know, check out Rudy the Writer and CKV Bank over in Belgium. Thanks for listening, guys. It's been a great series with Rudy, and from everyone here at CMC Radio, this is Rob May saying we'll see you soon.
Bye, Rob. Bye, people.